And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Monday, January 24th, and I know the excitement is brimming over. Tax season officially opens today. I know. I'm sorry, but look, it's going to be a crazy tax season. We talked about it. We are going to conduct an interview with Ed Slott. We're going to make sure you know what you need to know about this tax season. Just go easy. Don't have great expectations that it's going to be like smooth sailing, because there are going to be some stumbles along the way. If you have questions about your tax situation, shoot us a note. Just go to jillonmoney.com, click the contact button. It's right there. And we would be delighted to walk you through what you need to know about this tax season. And if it is something other than taxes, we're also happy to hear from you. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you've got a brand new job. Maybe you're considering a new job. I don't really care. Neither does Mark. We just want to know what's going on, how we can help you. Don't forget to check the box that says, would you be willing to come on the program? If you are, it's so much more fun. So just check that box and we're here for you. Okay, so here's something a little bit different. I am inviting you guys to join a webinar. Yeah, I'm co-hosting a webinar with Brent Weiss. He's a certified financial planner and head honcho, one of the head honchos, I should say, over at Facet Wealth. The webinar is called Your Money in 2022, What's News, What's Noise, and What You Need to Do. We'll put a link to the registration in the show notes, but it's going to be fun and it's going to be, you know, an hour. It's not going to be 5 hours, okay? It is on January 27th at noon Eastern time. There are limited spots available, so you should register if you can. All right, so check it out. So today we have a very good news bit here because this very patient listener named Skip, we tried to connect with him last week. We had technical snafus. Do you know how great Mark is as an executive producer? He wanted to get Skip on the air so much that he actually took the time and said, Skip, let's figure out how to make this work technically. And Skip, Mark got in touch with you and you did a little dry run. So let's hear how you sound, Skip. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Skip. Can everybody hear me?
You sound good. And you got a nice voice. So Skip is on the line from Connecticut. And Skip, you wrote to us about what? What can we help you out with today?
So here's the situation. And first of all, let me stop by saying, listen, we are big-time listeners of your show and enjoy just hearing other people's scenarios in terms of what their investments and what their financial pictures are like. And everybody's situation is a little bit different, but I got to tell you, you've helped us a lot over the years, and I just wanted to say that first.
Thank you.
That said, our situation is a little bit complicated, so I'm going to try to summarize it. But I'm turning 62 in February, and I'm looking at retirement. My wife is 51. She is looking to continue her career until at least 55. And we've accumulated assets over the years, and generally we feel pretty good about where we're at. But you know, we're not financial planners. We think we're doing a good job. And I just wanted your perspective on, based on what I'm about to share, whether or not I feel that I'm positioned to retire at 62 and my wife is going to continue. One of the reasons that I'm reaching out is we did a little bit of a analysis, which outlined what we spend or what I spend on an annual basis. So I have a pretty good handle on that. But one of the things that I was concerned about is I ballparked the fact that I spend about $50,000 a year. And when I went back and actually crunched the numbers and literally accounted for what I spend for gas, what I spend for going to big box stores, it was more like $100,000.
Isn't that amazing? I just want to stop you right there. I know exactly what you mean. So there is a part of this planning process that is eerily familiar to anyone who has ever thought about diet, and that you sort of say, like, I know I'm doing fine. I eat this many meals. But then, you know, you do one of these crazy diets. One of the things that they encourage you to do, say at a place like Weight Watchers, is like write down everything you eat. And then once you do that, you're like, whoa, oh my goodness. I think it's the same thing with spending money. I mean, I know that there's a part of it that makes you feel a little compulsive. Like when I say to people, how much do you need to live on? And people are like, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, you should account for it. And then you sound like a miserly weird person because you're trying to account for every penny. So I am not the kind of person who thinks that you should drill down and stay on top of this every single day. But as you just learned, it is easy to bury certain expenses. And unless you really account for them, you don't get a good picture of what your need is. So I am not trying to create like compulsive penny by penny counters in all of you. I'm just trying to get a sense of what we need so we can figure out what you need to do next, right? So if it's not 50 grand a year and it is 100 grand a year, there's no judgment there. It's just like, we want to know what the number is. So where did you find of that extra 50 grand? What did you miss in the analysis?
It really, I don't know if it was a miss so much as I come from humble beginnings in terms of my background, and $50,000 to me is a lot of money. And so I ballparked it in my head.
Oh, interesting.
But then when I really peeled away the onion and I looked at everything that was coming out of our bank account, and I'm old fashioned, so I take a certain amount of money out of the bank a week. And if I run out of that money, I don't take out more. So I know the drawdown rate or the burn rate of which I'm spending on a monthly basis. And when I took a step back and I completely tallied that up over a year's worth of withdrawals, it showed a very different picture than what I thought.
All right. I'm glad you know the picture, right? Like, so that's good. Yeah. Let me ask you something, Skip. How much do you earn right now?
About $180,000 a year.
Okay. And how about your wife? How much does she earn?
$190,000 a year. And she gets roughly about a $70,000 a year bonus.
So it's really like she's making at least 250 basically, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're both contributing to retirement plans?
Yes, we max out.
Tell me about the money that you guys have saved. So what's in your retirement plan right now?
So it's in my retirement plan is with respect to our IRAs, it's about a little over $1 million. We have liquid cash in the amount of $950,000. And then I have a pension that's the present value is roughly $800,000.
What's the monthly that you could draw on?
100% JNS, I'm estimating about $35,000 a year.
Is your wife going to be entitled to a pension as well?
Yes, she'll be entitled to a cash balance plan pension.
Okay, how much is the cash balance?
My cash balance is 100.
Yours is 800. What's hers?
The pension is $800,000. I also have a cash balance on top of that of 128,000.
Oh my. Okay. And what about hers?
She has a cash balance plan of $135,000, and her IRAs is $1.4 million.
You said IRAs. Are you lumping that together of like 401k or 403b or anything like that? Or do you actually have IRAs?
We actually have IRAs.
Okay. That's a lot of money, pardon me, that you have saved. Tell me more about anything else in terms of the investing, savings, analysis? Is that, have we accounted for everything?
In terms of investments, we have another about $312,000 that are in, I wouldn't call this investments, but I have a fixed annuity and an indexed annuity, which we're using as part of the fund, to fund my child's college education. So we're self-funding it. The reason we came into that money is bonuses and things that I got over the years. And I said, you know, I don't want to worry about his college fund. I want to put I want to set it aside. So we're using those vehicles for that.
How old's the kid?
He's five.
Wow. Dude, you started late.
Really late.
My God. But you got it going. Only one child?
Only one child.
Who's your insurance agent who sold you those annuities? How did you get involved with this?
I have an advisor that
do you
that I work with. Yes.
Do you really have an advisor?
Do you have a
salesperson?
I have both. I have an agent plus an advisor.
Is it the same person or two separate people?
Two separate individuals.
So who sold you these annuities? The advisor or the agent?
The advisor.
Is this somebody who's a certified financial planner?
Correct.
And the premise that he used for annuity for college was what? Like, just throw it in here, the money will be here for college versus instead of using the Connecticut Higher Education Trust?
No, protection of principal in terms of downward market, also to get a little bit of the upside when the market goes up. Obviously not as much as you would get if you were, if I was in the market.
When did you put this money in the annuity?
2020 and 2021.
Skip. Did you ever watch those Claymation Christmas time specials where it was like, I'm the heat miser?
Yeah.
I'm right now, I am the heat miser. My hair is straight up. My body is red hot and tingly, and I'm really trying to hold it in. Okay. And I do not want to throw your advisor under the bus because I'm scared that he's like your cousin or something. So who is this person to you? Any real relationship?
No, he's an advisor that I've been working with for probably 6 or 7 years now.
What else does this guy do for you? Does he do the IRAs?
Yes. Yeah.
How much do you pay him?
$12,000 a year.
Tell me more information. So we have established that you have a boatload of money, $1 million IRA, cash of $950,000. Your pension right now is worth $800,000 or $35,000 a year, joint and life survivor. You have a cash balance of another pension cash balance of $128,000. Your wife has a cash balance of $135,000. Your wife's IRA is about $1.4 million. You got $312,000 in the fixed and index annuities. And what else? Is there anything else I need to know?
My wife has a non-qual of $15,000.
Okay.
And an HSA of $97,000.
Ooh, that'll be good when her old man husband needs it.
Well, I have one too for $32,000.
That's great. That's a very good thing to have for the future for you. When you retire, what happens for health insurance? Do you guys get it from her work or do you have an ongoing health insurance ability through your employer?
I get it through her work.
What happens in 5 years is that she retires, you're on Medicare, then what does she do for health insurance in 5 years?
She's actually pumping up her non-qual. Mm-hmm. So that if she decides to leave at 55, which she probably won't, but if she does, and sometimes, you know, that's not our choice, we'll have sufficient funds to cover healthcare.
Okay, fair enough. And so her non-qualified, you said, is $15,000 right now?
Correct.
And that's in addition to your non-qualified cash of $950,000, right?
That's right.
Okay. How about your house? What's it worth?
$400,000.
Mortgage?
None.
Wow. Any debt? Any other debt?
No debt.
We know that you need to spend $100,000 a year. That's your real number. At age 67, what's your Social Security?
$3,227.
You know, you're not going to spend $300,000 on college. Is that just like, did you overfund that because you figured, college, grad school, and we're done?
No, we weren't specifically. There's a question mark whether or not he's even going to attend college. So we just wanted to, since we had the money, we wanted to set it aside. So
that's different. Why is that? Is he special needs of some sort?
No, I just don't have a lot of confidence in whether or not, we don't know whether or not he's going to go on to to a higher ed or do something different. But I wanted to make sure that I had something set aside for purposes of being able to help him out to the extent that he actually needed it. And then we'll have access to those dollars later.
I see. Okay.
Is that why the advisor suggested the annuity? Like, did you have that conversation with the advisor? And he said, well,
I'm just trying to say that.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, okay. Yes. So now we're letting your advisor off the hook a tiny bit for that, because it sounds to me like you sort of wanted something in between. Like, mm-hmm. I want to save for college, but if he doesn't go to college, I don't know. Maybe I want something else.
That's exactly right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
It's still a crappy advice. It was still an absolute crappy piece of advice. And I'm going to explain why. Let me go big picture with you. Okay. I got your picture, right? Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
You're in great shape, like completely great shape. You could create your own little pension plan with all the money that you have accumulated. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, it sounds to me like you do like a little bit of consistency. So let's just pretend.
Correct.
Your pension benefit at 35 grand a year. Does that start at 62?
No, I won't start my pension benefit until 65.
Okay. So let's just say that let's just play it out till, let's just pretend you did it at 67 for the heck of it. Okay. At 67, you've got your pension and your Social Security, which is about $73,000 pre-tax, of course. I'm not even going to include your wife's Social Security right now, okay? Just like putting that aside. At 67, so we're going to have 5 years that we have to finance. I get it. But, you know, your wife's working. You can just essentially live off of her income for the next 5 years, right? At age 67, you've got $73,400 coming in, pension and your Social Security. You have so much money that you can generate, you know, let's just say, I mean, really back of the envelope here, one, two, three, it's almost like $4 million that you have. There's no problem. You can generate all of the money you need to float your retirement for a long time. Like, you're not running out of money. The kid's going to get money. I am pretending that all the annuity money is spent on him. Okay. So, you know, what you're looking at here is a situation where you've plenty of money to generate what you need. So even if I said you have your $1 million, right, in the IRA, she's got 1.4. Let's say out of your cash, I'm going to pretend that we're only going to have access to 600 of that cash. I don't know why. I'm just going to do it for the heck of it. And then one, two, like another 250. So I have like somewhere around $3.5 million without, like, in the most conservative estimate. That is plenty of money. You could be like a super boring investor. I could take a withdrawal rate on $3.5 million. Okay. And I could say, look, the guy hates risk. His wife hates risk, whatever. Let's just do a 2% withdrawal rate. Let's just take 2% of that out every year. That's 70 grand on top of the 73 you're already getting. So you could essentially say, I'll get 140 gross. I'll pay my taxes. I got my 100 grand a year. Done. You have no problems. Zero. You are in fantastic shape. You guys have killed it. You've saved a lot of money. You were very smart to marry someone who would float you for your early retirement. So that was good. Super smart of you. You can retire now. There's no problem.
So the only wrinkle in this whole thing then is we made a poor decision on the annuity products.
No, you didn't make a poor decision. The person who was your quote unquote advisor gave you advice that really wasn't in the best interest of you. It really wasn't. I'm sure that that advisor has convinced himself or herself that it is the best advice. No way that's the best advice. Here's what I would have done if I were that person. You say to me, you know what? I'm not sure about college. I'm not sure. Wait, what if he doesn't go? And I say, what's the big deal? Let's put the money in the 529 plan through the Connecticut. By the way, Connecticut has an incredibly good 529 plan. The other part of this that I think is kind of interesting, when you look at the tax advantages for the Connecticut plan itself, contributions to the Connecticut Higher Education Trust are deductible up to $5,000 a year for a single or $10,000 for a joint return. So you were robbed of a great tax benefit. And again, let's just pretend that you said, I don't want to put 300 grand in this, which I would have told you to do anyway. But even if you had done $10,000 a year for 5 years, you could have gotten a deduction against your state income tax. Why did we leave that on the table? All right, now, I can't go back in time. Now you have this stupid annuity. The annuity, the clock ticks on that annuity, meaning that there is a surrender charge, which means every time you buy an annuity product, what happens is you have to go through a period of time that passes before you have a fee to get out. Here's the surrender. Okay, here we go. Declining surrender charge based on a 10-year schedule, meaning if you blow out of this contract within year one, you have to pay a 9% penalty. It goes 9, 8, 7, 6.5, 5.5, 4.5, 3.5, 2.5, 1.5, 0.5%. 10 years where you have a penalty to get out. So we're not blowing out of this thing. You're stuck. And that's annoying to me. The other piece of this, which is even if it were a really smart piece of advice that like you want flexibility, you know how you get flexibility? You don't buy an insurance contract. You keep the money in an investment account that is maybe a little bit more boring in its allocation, but you have access to it. Now I'm locked into this. I'm going to try to, I need to get out of this heat miser mode, right?
I'm in it now with you.
and I don't want you to like, and I don't want to make you crazy either. Like you have so much money that you are thankfully do not have to actually feel so bad about this. You could have made a much bigger mistake. It's not even going to be a problem because you're such good savers.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Have you done your estate planning?
Yes.
All right. I'm so happy you talked to us. Thank you for hanging with us. And let us know if there's anything else we can do. If you, like Skip, have been given advice about where to put money for education that's not a Section 529 plan, I would love to hear from you before you sign on the dotted line, okay? Before. So all you need to do is go to jillonmoney.com, click the contact button. Click that contact button, let us know what's going on, and we'll get you on the air. And not every state's 529 plan gives you a tax deduction. Before you sign on the dotted line, do give us a holler, okay? Very good. Now, let me tell you some more business here. Beginning of the week, tax season is opening. Just bookmark jillonmoney.com because we're going to have a lot. I got to write a lot about the tax year, and I'm putting together a post right now. And it's confusing. It's going to be very confusing, especially around that child tax credit. So I know a lot of you are going to have questions about that. So just bookmark jillonmoney.com. And while you're on the website, sign up for the free weekly newsletter. We'd love for you to get that. It's great. And you can subscribe to our sister broadcast, Eye on Money, wherever you get your podcasts. We'd like to remind you to do something nice for someone else today. And our mantra here at the program is grit, growth, grace. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.